What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 45 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle. This is one of your hosts, Eduardo Pineda.
And this is Xavier Puente.
And today, we have a special guest. His name is Vance Black.
Vance, so, how you doing today, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
It's a little bit awesome. Chilly out here,
yeah,
but...
it's a little bit chilly.
You know? I just... quick origin story, like... I didn't ask you this before, but do you collect action figures? I want to know how all this actually got to the idea first before you explain what you're doing or what you're releasing.
Yeah, so I recently got into like customization of action figures. When I was younger, I did collect action figures. I was like really into Ninja Turtles and He-Man.
Since you were a little kid or no?
What was that?
Since you were a little kid.
Yeah, so like when I was a kid, and then I hadn't really bought any in the last like decade. So there's like this whole period of time where I like didn't really collect action figures or have them.
You focused on some other projects.
Correct. Yeah. So I was like really into music. I was in a band for over 10 years. I'm still kind of like partially involved in this band that I started like a long time ago, a local reggae band called Project Out of Bounds.
Oh, awesome.
So if you want to check us out on Spotify or iTunes, you could do that.
Definitely.
But anyhow, I got back into action figures by this new hobby that I discovered of customizing action figures. And I don't know how I discovered it. I think it was like on YouTube or something. I was just looking around. I was like, oh, these guys are customizing action figures. That's super cool, you know? So I decided to kind of try it out myself. Did a lot of research, mostly just YouTube videos.
Yeah.
People are really informative on YouTube on like what to buy. You know, I started following people on Instagram, like messaging them, like, oh, what did you use for the hair? What did you use? What kind of paint? So I got all the paint and everything. I've made like a handful so far, so I'm fairly like a beginner.
Which figures or what line are you focusing on, or what scale too? Like
The Marvel, just the standard Marvel.
Legends? The
Marvel
6-inch?
Legends, correct, okay. Yeah. So I think the first one I did was like, I want to say it was Ant-Man, and I converted it into like my band's mascot, which is this robot, the POB robot. So I made a Marvel into like basically like our own character that we have for the band, and then I also started making them into like horror movie like villains. Like I made a Leatherface one.
Nice.
I don't remember what I used, but I just get like the base model, you know, and I try to buy it used. That's actually how I found out about the. The Facebook group
that we're in, the collector showroom.
Yeah, the collector showroom. Somebody that I bought like a handful of used action figures from. Actually, they were new. They were still in the package, but they were like fairly cheap.
Yeah.
So I bought it from him, and he's like, "You should join the Facebook group." And so I joined them, and then that's kind of how I linked up with you guys.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect you to know this, but he's also a customizer.
Okay.
So if you got any questions, like after the podcast
sure.
or anything about painting or anything, he does Hot Wheels though. But
I do Hot Wheels. I
Oh, cool.
I've been doing like Star Wars figures also.
Nice.
Like
but hydro dipping.
Hydro dipping.
I don't know if you know what.
No, what is that? What's hydro dipping?
It's almost like a plastic sheet. You put it in water.
Okay.
And then you spray like this activator on it. And
okay.
And it turns into liquid. And then you can dip, you know, whatever things. Like this is one of. I'm actually showing Vince one of my customs right now. So. So
oh damn, that's cool. And
so it just it engulfs like the whole pattern into the thing.
Yeah.
Star Wars ones that I've been working
on. So the dipping is what makes this pattern.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a collage or something.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
So all that led up to you like passing through all the music stuff. I'm assuming you didn't lose the passion for sci-fi and all the other stuff. As far as the action figures, but...
Correct, yeah, it was, like, always still in me. Like, I always, like, I was always a fan of sci-fi thrillers and whatnot. Like, I also had a... When I was a kid, I also had a cousin that was, like, an aspiring, like, comic book artist. Like, he wanted to get a job with one of the big comic book companies. And he lived with me for, like, about a year. My parents let him live with us after he graduated high school. He lives up in, like, Victorville area. But he wanted to like you know get on his feet and everything, so he moved over here and he had all these boxes of comics and everything, mostly like Marvel stuff, and then a couple other comic books that I don't even know if are around anymore. But he'd always just be drawing all the time, and he'd get action figures and he'd use them as models to draw, and it's kind of like all just synergy, you know, like action figures, comic books, like drawing.
Yeah.
It all
came together.
One big, yeah, like kind of like it's all part of the hobby, and so I kind of got into it then, and then like I said, it kind of went on hold, but I always had the passion for superhero stuff, comic books, sci-fi, like that whole realm. I've always had that in me, and I've always followed it through the movies mostly.
Yeah.
Watching movies and even going back and watching some classics like the original Alien, the original Predator, and stuff like that. And then just recently, it kind of rekindled that by doing the action figures, because it started out with the action figures customization. Then I started sketching them. I started using them for like models. I got back into sketching, which I hadn't done since I was like young, really young. And then once I started sketching, I was sketching my own characters. And then I was like, man, I should put like a story behind these, you know? And that's kind of like what this started out as. So it's almost like a fast track, rekindling the past, you know?
What he means by this, guys, is he's releasing a short story. What would you call this?
It's probably like a short story. It's about 100 pages, so it's a pretty easy read. Like, you could probably read this in a weekend if you're, or even a few nights if you're like
a good reader.
Yeah. It's called Primal Future. It's a dystopian sort of a story. I guess there's a little bit of sci-fi in there. I tell people it's a mixture between Star Wars, Mad Max, and 50 Shades of Grey.
What are your shots, bro?
No, that's it. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, guys. I know that we don't have a video, but the cover of this thing is awesome. You were telling us earlier a little bit about how you got the cover going, but... You know, just the artwork itself is beautiful.
Yeah, so the artist is a guy by the name of Ruben Ochoa, and he's a guy that played in a band back when we were younger. He played in a band called Center of Five. They're from San Diego. And then also, after Center of Five, disassembled, he started another band called Miscellaneous Ailments, and he's like in the music industry, but he's also a great artist. And so... Primal Future's got this like kind of, I think they call it like a splash photo, when they have like different kind of scenes like all splashed together, and you got like the main character like Captain Leto, and then you got Captain Asteria, who's like another, they're the two captains of like these two space colonies. So it's basically like the world's getting like to a pretty scary place, you know. There's like a lot of talk of like maybe nuclear war and stuff like that. So they're starting to put like people into space, like colony by colony.
Remember what we talked about one time on one of the podcasts? I was telling him like, there's gonna be one day where we're gonna have colonies in space.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's funny that your story has to do with that. That's pretty dope. Cause, I mean, it kind of makes sense, you know, the way we're going.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know about the dystopian part, but that's where your story comes on.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about right now. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about like just a little tidbit about like the characters, or like a little bit more about the story.
Yeah. So I guess the dystopian part comes a little bit later. It's like you got the space colonies, you're putting them up one by one. So far they only have like two, and each one holds like maybe like 200 people, I believe. And so the idea is to like keep putting more and more, and they're like almost like self-sustainable, where like, you know, they still need to bring some supplies and stuff, but they're trying to like, as technology goes on, they're trying to make them so that they're eventually completely sustainable. Like maybe it's like solar powered, or I don't know what. Maybe they grow their own crops, but
some sort of city, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's like sustainable, where they don't need anything from Mother Earth.
Yeah.
But then before they could build the third one, there is a nuclear, all-out nuclear war, and like it's basically like the whole world as they know it is completely wiped out. So then they basically eventually run out of supplies, because they're not completely sustainable, so they have to come back down. So they take some shuttles back down, and you know, it's completely like, you know, like you would see in Mad Max, you know, it's like a desert,
yeah,
and just gray dirt. And so they have to like, they build like a village and everything, and they learn that there's still fish in the water, so they're like, that's like their main source of food. Then they start learning how to grow crops and everything, because they have stuff from the space colony that they brought with them. But then there's this basically like, I call them Space Force, I guess because there's an actual Space Force. That
I know, that's what they're calling it right now.
Yeah, so you know, you got your evil empire or whatever you want to call it, the stereotypical, you know, like Star Wars or evil empire. But we're calling them Space Force because Donald Trump made a Space Force, you know, like recently, which is the military branch of the space. That was actually my editor that came up with that idea. And so I was like, yeah, that's a good idea because it's like relevant to today. And so Space Force is like this evil militant like group, and they find out that they made a third colony, and that and all the elite, like the presidents and like the space, some of the Space Force leaders, and like they're all like living up there. And so Space Force comes down to Earth and sees like these, you know, colony one and colony two basically like thriving, and then they're like, oh, like, you know, we expect like some rations every so often, whatever, every month or something. And so, and they're kind of like fascist, you know, they're using like force, they have guns. Like colony one and two, they don't have any guns because they're space colonies of 200 people. They don't have any use for like, you know, military or guns. So it's like these people are basically like
for survival
being, yeah, and these people are basically being oppressed by this new militant force.
They're still taking advantage of their of thinking that they still have the power.
Correct. They want their peace. They want, you know, the cut of.
There's always that one group when it comes to certain like stories like this, where there's always that one group that causes all the chaos, you know.
Correct. Yeah, and it usually comes from a place of greed or whatever. Yeah. And so, you know, you got your protagonist, which is the space colonies. They just want peace, you know. They want to survive. And then you got the antagonist, which is the military force, the space force. And so that's kind of like the setup for the book. And then things get really ugly, and like there's a lot of violence. There's a lot of explicit material in there. So like that's why I'm going by my alias, which is Vance Black. You know, this is like this is like a book that I don't know if I would like show my mother, like, hey mom, read this.
Yeah.
This is like something that I'm like, all right, this is just for the
sci-fi
fanatics and like the people that don't mind seeing some explicit, you know, material in the books and stuff like that. It's kind of like more of like a cult underground sort of a audience that I'm trying to go for. So kind of like, and I almost think that the weird like incognito nature that I'm like kind of going towards with this promotion is actually like helping, because people are like, oh, what, it's bad, you don't want me to see it, I want to read it now. And I'm just like, oh, okay, I guess so. But
I think the funnest
don't
part
tell
is,
grandma.
I think the funnest part is probably going to be once they actually read it and see their reaction, see what they think, and maybe you're gonna mind blow them a little bit, because I think you were saying that you might extend this series.
Correct. Yeah, I'm gonna extend this series. This was meant to be a trilogy. However, you know, like the Star Wars franchise was a trilogy, and then look what it is now. It's like, you know, a ton of stuff. And you know, if you go on Kindle and you look at some of these sci-fi books, you'll see that they'll have like a lot of these authors. They're doing like 10 book series, 12 book series. So it's common that people have series because they establish their fan base and their fans want to see more. Hopefully I get a decent fan base from this first one, so that way I can kind of build upon it. I'm pretty stoked on just continuing the story and also like building, you know, like world building, where it's like, you know, I got Earth, but then the thing I didn't tell you guys about this was like in the beginning they find out that there's a separate side mission to like discover a new habitable planet, because you got your colonies, but it's like the colonies are kind of like a last resort. But we also want to find like another habitable planet. So they find out in this book that they actually did discover one. So between Space Force basically trying to like control Earth, they're also simultaneously going to pursue this new planet. And there is you know, aliens on this other planet as well.
Is this in this story as well, or is
just a glimpse of it?
Okay, this is a foreshadow of what could come.
Correct. And then book two will be about the other planet. So there's just mention that, okay, we did discover a planet, and there's these like aliens and on the planet, and they're like, and I guess the aliens are like they're like super horny, they just want to fuck everything. so it's kind of like a weird like scenario for that planet. It's like, it's not like it's kind of like almost like a perverse version of like aliens, you know?
Yeah.
Now I was just wondering if, I wonder like in real life also, if eventually we're going to have almost like a NATO type of you know, of all the, you know how in, I think in Star Wars also they showed something where all the yeah. planets have their own,
yeah,
you know, representative. It,
yeah. They have like that whole council meeting
exactly.
and everything.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah. it would be interesting to find out if, you know,
yeah. if that happens.
Yeah, if that happens, then, you know, it'd be something pretty cool to see in
yeah.
the series, you know.
For sure, yeah. So, like,
I mean, I know that sounds like pretty far away.
Yeah, it would be it's definitely because like because the survivors are so few right now.
Yeah.
It's like it's probably not going to be to that point yet. But then, like, you know, I could see that coming in into play
yeah, exactly.
later on. There's also so this is the first book. The second book I said was about the planet. It's
the aliens.
The planet's called Nerthus. Nerthus, and it's like the Nerthlings that live on Nerthus. And then the third book is actually, you know, once there's like survivors of this first book, I'm trying not to give too much
yeah,
away.
Yeah, no, so just give whatever you can, but don't.
But basically the third book is about an island full of just only women that live there. And that was inspired by the Wonder Woman Amazonian okay. story. So in that story, they're like immortal, right? So that's because otherwise, like, how would you just have only women on an island?
Yeah.
You know, you got to like multiply and
yeah.
reproduce.
Yeah.
So I try to come up with a way on book three. This is like looking ahead.
Yeah.
I try to come up with a way like how I want to have like an Amazonian type of island, but I want to do it in a realistic way. Like there's no immortals. There's
yeah.
no gods. Like how would that happen? So like
yeah.
it. I won't reveal anything, but I somehow like have this scenario. We're in book three. There's going to be like an Amazonian island, but it's like no immortals. No, it's just like using like, you know, drugs or like certain pills and stuff to like control like
the
boy or girls.
Or so, yeah.
And, yeah. Like when there's like a pregnancy and stuff like that. And it kind of starts in this book where they talk about these pills. There's like the pink pills and the blue pills.
No.
And the pink pill is like, you know, if you want to have a girl, the blue pill is like if you want to have
for the boy.
A boy.
I see.
So that kind of comes into play in the third book where it's like, when they want to form this island of like, you know, of like women, because they're basically so jaded by what happened in this book, by all these you know, these men like strong arming their way and like raping
yeah.
the women and like killing people. So they're like, fuck.
They went their separate
ways.
They're
all like, fuck the men. We're just gonna start our own planet. So there's like a planet full of women in the third book, and it's like sexy, and they're like, you know, they're cool, they're badass, like tough women, and they're like, they basically control this like island so that it's only women that live there. It's very. Very much like Wonder Woman, but like, you know, maybe a little more like rated R.
You said realistic.
Yeah, realistic.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
it's there's no immortals or gods. It's just human beings, and they just are. They're almost like a cult. Like they've been like messed with so much to the point where they're like this extreme fanatics, where they're like almost like anti men. You know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the third book. So that's the trilogy so far in a nutshell. And then, like, from there, you got, you know, the Nerthus planet, and then, like...
You can have side stories or whatever.
Yeah, there'll be... Yeah. They could, also, the possibility of, like, maybe not everybody died, you know, when the nuclear
yeah.
bomb... Like, for example, on this the island that they're in, like, there's actually going to be animals on this island because the bombs were only hitting the mainlands, you know? Like, they didn't hit the atomic bombs or the nuclear bombs. They didn't hit, like, the little islands, you know, like
yeah.
like the little tropical islands.
Yeah.
So maybe there's like still, you know, maybe there's like a Navy ship or something in the
yeah.
ocean.
Or, yeah,
and then,
or maybe in the water, because like they
yeah.
always say that we never explore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like maybe 10% of it.
For sure.
Or how it changes the face of the earth too,
yeah.
you know?
So basically, like most of the aquatic life is still alive. So like
yeah.
whatever's in the ocean, shallow or deep, is like pretty much, so they're able to eat the fish and there's sharks, there's you know, crocodiles, whatever. So anyways, but as far as like humans, like maybe there's, if you were like out, you know,
yeah.
you know, like I said, on a ship.
On a ship or something,
you're
yeah.
still out there, but
yeah.
you just haven't been introduced to this like, to this story yet.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like the possibilities like of like side stories and like more sequels, you know,
yeah.
take place.
And that's the awesome part about, you know, creating something, your own world, because, you know, it
yeah.
doesn't have to just stop at here. You know, you can, you know, you can expand and, you know, make different.
It basically started with those Amazonian like women that I was telling you about, because I think I was like using one of the custom legends that I made a character into a Jean Grey. Like it was like a 90s Jean Grey with the yellow and blue, you know,
yeah.
suit, and like the the really long flowy red hair. So I was doing like, I was trying to make a night, cause I grew up like with that Jean Grey. I don't, the Jean Grey now I think is like a greenish color or something. I don't even know. But the one that when I think of Jean Grey, I think of the yellow the and
traditional.
Blue. Yeah. The yellow and blue outfit with yeah. like, she's got like the, almost like a gambit, like kind of like Gambit's like,
the head, thing on her headpiece.
Yeah, yeah, the headpiece thing looks almost like Gambit, and then the red hair flowing out. So I did a custom of her, of a Jean Grey, and then like I started sketching it, and I was like making these like kind of sexy like tribal Amazon chicks, and I was like, man, I gotta like make a story about this, and like my imagination was just going crazy, and I'm like,
yeah,
and it just sounds like really ridiculous for me to just randomly start writing books because I drew a picture, but it's like because of quarantine, like I had a lot more time at home, yeah, and I was just like, this is like a time where my imagination would normally just go away after a while, you know, like yeah. maybe you just, oh, like I had this idea, but then like whatever, yeah. like it, yeah. it just goes in the back of your head or whatever. But this time it was like, I'm just sitting at home. I'm like, I'm going to do it. Why not? You know, like
fuck it. You took action.
Yeah. So I just started doing it, and it's like, it's just kind of a random thought that just kept spiraling into a bigger thing.
I remember that one time that you posted, was it you were looking for your
his
name?
Alias. Yeah,
yeah, I did take a survey. Yeah, like of like I was like, you know, I think I had five different aliases, you know, it a lot of them like the first names or the last names. Some of them were like my favorite like athletes growing up. Like for example, like I really liked Gary Sheffield growing up. He was on the Padres for a little while, and then he went on the Yankees, and he was like this really awesome like power hitting. He was a third baseman on the Padres, but then he moved to outfield. But he had this like really cool batting stance where he'd do this weird thing with his bat. And so anyways, I had Bo Sheffield or something, and then Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah,
Bo Jackson. So a lot of the names were like almost like sport athletes, cuz I was like yeah. really into sports growing up too. So it was like so I put all pieced together all these names, and like I think what I ended up with Vance Black, I don't even, this has nothing to do with sports. I think Black is just like, Black is just a cool name because it's dark. And this yeah. and the content of my stories are usually dark. Even though, like I said, I play in a reggae band, Project Out of Bounds, and it's like pretty dark for a reggae band, like, because it's like the subject matters, like, it's touching different topics that like wouldn't normally be talked about in reggae. So it's definitely, you could still dance to it, and it's still like good
vibe. I listened to it like, I don't know, a couple of days ago, and I was like, yeah. "Well, no, it was pretty good, to be honest. Like the beat yeah. is good. Like the lyrics, it was. I only listened to one song, to be honest, and it didn't yeah. have that much lyrics.
Yeah,
it had more of a
like instrumental,
but it was good.
Nice,
it was good.
What got you into reggae?
So, have you guys been in San Diego your whole lives?
I have.
I'm originally from Texas. So.
Okay, so. You and I, I don't know if you remember the street scene that they used to have back in the day. They used to shut down downtown, and they play like, they'd have a bunch of like, they'd have like really big names like play like
on the street,
right on the street. Yeah, and they yeah. shut down all the streets. They stopped doing it. Eventually, they moved it to like Petco, like when Petco opened, and then they moved it to like Qualcomm.
This was like in the 90s, right?
Or yeah,
like, so, and early 2000s.
So I went to it. It was still in downtown in the like mid to late 90s. And okay. so, like, that's when I used to go, and, like, I remember watching a guy, his name was Buju Banton, and he's, like, a Jamaican artist that's, like, pretty famous. He actually was in jail for the last 10 years in Jamaica, and he just got out recently, and now he's, like, releasing albums again and stuff like that. But I watched him play, and he had, like, a full-on, like, band with, like, brass, you know, horns, like, and then he had, like, two or three, like, backup, these women vocalists, and they were, like, all wearing white. And it was, and he comes out and he's wearing, the whole band was wearing white, so it was just like this, all these people were in white, and he had like his long dreadlocks, and he was like just, he has this crazy like raspy voice.
Yeah.
And so the sun was like setting, and it was just like this perfect moment, you know. And it was like, you know, back then like I smoked a lot of pot, so we were like, people were like passing the pot around. I was like, oh cool, thanks, like it's like everybody's family here, this yeah. is awesome. And like people are like dancing and like sharing their weed, and like there's really good music, and like the sun is setting like I'm San Diego, and it's like all this beautiful scene. And from that moment I was like, I gotta like do more, I gotta like get into this, like, you know, more, you know, like it was like really inspiring moment. And it was Buju Banton, this Jamaican artist.
And you already knew how to play instruments, or did you learn because of that or no?
Yeah, I had always learned, like my My background is like my mom's side of the family is Mexican, and my dad's side is from the Middle East actually. But my Mexican side of the family, they always like they all know how to play like guitar, and like a lot of them like sing in like churches and stuff, like you know, at their church they sing the
chorus.
Yeah, and they do the like the ranchero music a little bit and stuff like that. You know, when we grew up in the 90s, it was like Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, Green Day. Yeah. So like that was all like, and that was like a gold, that was looking back, like that was like a golden era of like rock music.
Yeah, it
like,
was a golden era of everything.
Of a lot of things.
Because I tried to get my kids into a lot of, I have a 21-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff that I grew up with, the music,
the movies,
the cartoons.
Exactly.
I mean, whatever. I mean, it was all like pretty awesome.
I know. Yeah. I tell a lot of people that to this day, like, I mean, just from a music perspective, I'm like, man, the 90s, even the late 90s, like when you had like, you know, Incubus and System of a Down and stuff like that, and like the Deftones and like all these like really good like harder hard rock bands, and then in the mid 90s you have like, you know, the grunge scene and the Seattle scene,
Nirvana
and you know, there was like really cool indie rock scene like at the time, even here in San Diego there was like bands like Pinback and like Blackheart Procession and No Knife and stuff like that. It was like this crazy like you know, like indie rock scene that happened, like, and they were all these scenes were like just blowing up all over the place. And like I feel like if you were a kid, if you were like a youth now and you try to learn and you're like, I want to learn how to play guitar, like you wouldn't be learning it something that's being released now. You'd be learning like Nirvana.
Yeah.
Like you'd be learning something from the 90s. Like you wouldn't be like, oh, I'm learning like, I don't even know, like what is that, like what good rock band. It's become more of an electronic based thing for the youth right now. I think it's like electronic and hip hop. So like if you're learning guitar now, 90% of the time you're probably learning something from the 90s, the 2000s, or like maybe even sooner, like Pink Floyd or something, you know, the Beatles.
Like I look back when I was going through high school and you know, like Metallica.
Yeah.
You know, you were kind of like shunned upon if you listened to Metallica,
because
Metallica really wasn't considered
not
like
mainstream.
But you listen now, like our age right now, dude, that their stuff is so, you know,
yeah,
I keep on looking back because I even see like big artists talk about Metallica like shit.
If you're like, Metallica is the prototypical like metal band. Like if you think of metal, like you think of Metallica. Like it's like them and like maybe Slayer or Pantera or something. But like the same thing, like going back a few years later, like when I listened to System of a Down, it was like an underground like hard band that was kind of like, you were like a rebel if you listened to them. And then like I talk to people at my work in the office now and they're like, oh yeah, I love System of a Down, and they're like some computer programmer or something.
You know,
and
what? That's hilarious, because like where I grew up, I think a lot of the people did listen to it. And mostly, I think, or maybe not a lot of people, but I think I was exposed to it because I hung around with some skaters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but not because it was like something that everybody listened to. But it's weird hearing your perspective, seeing that it was something that wasn't popular, because I didn't pay attention to it. I just listened to the music, and then it's just weird. But
yeah, it's weird how things it's usually like, usually the cream rises to the top,
so
it's like if you're just good, even if you're like underground good, like, but you're just really fucking good, like you're gonna like get somewhere, you know,
eventually.
Not always, but like usually. And then that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody at the top is really fucking good, because there's a lot of shit at the top. But they're backed by the you know, the businesses, you know, the businesses invested into marketing these bands and make money off of them. But so yeah, it's like, but for the most part, you know, things that are successful, whether it's in movies or music or you know, comic book world or whatever, usually if you're really good, like people will take notice, you know.
Yeah.
So that's like always like, that's always a good thing for artists to hear, because some artists get like myself. I played in a reggae band for 10 years, and like there's bands that I played with. That I shared the stage with, you know, that are like nationally or international like touring bands now, and it's like it could be like definitely frustrating and like make you jaded, where you're just like, oh, I don't even want to play anymore, you know, like so it's good to like to tell yourself, you know, like, you know, all the 90% of the good stuff, like they were just really good, and then people just couldn't ignore them anymore, you know. They just had to take notice.
Yeah.
So
Hey, sometimes it happens like that, but you just never know when it could happen. You know, like, for example, like us, like, this whole podcast, like, we started from nothing. Like, you can see for yourself, it's just a phone and a mic, you know?
Yeah.
Before it was just the phone, there was no mic.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's not like we have, like, thousands of listeners or anything, but all the listeners that we do have, I know we have a good, solid group, and I appreciate all of them. And I know that when you were playing your music, you were going all out, you know?
Yeah. But
I could tell that you guys did a pretty good job, and I mean, maybe in the future you get invited to play somewhere or something, you know, if you keep in contact with the dudes that you know.
For sure.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, yeah, like us, like I was telling him, is that, you know, we used to just do it over here at the Plaza Bonita.
Oh, yeah, Plaza Bonita.
You couldn't even hear anything.
Yeah, there was like background noise.
And that can happen with the book as well, you know.
Something I wanted to add, and like the way right now you were talking about, you know, the your music and stuff like that. The way you were speaking was so colorful and so, like, and I mean, I'm pretty sure it brought a smile to your face talking about music.
Yeah.
Are you going to add music into your book?
There's not really any plans for incorporating music into the book. Well, although, I mean, there is one part. Two things. One is in the third book with the Amazonian tribe. There is going to be like this, they're going to have these rituals. Like, and whenever they do a ritual, they're going to have drums, and the drums are going to be, you know, they're going to hit the drum like 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 in three different notes. And the three different notes represents the three different tribes. There's going to be three tribes in this group, in this, Amazonian, like, whatever, like island or whatever.
Colony.
And it's, everything's in threes. Like, so, you know, it's like, you know, like the, what is it? Executive, judicial,
and
the legislative,
so
like
branches,
you know, the branches of government, basically, like, or, you know, whenever you want to balance power, you always have three sides. Yeah. So in the cat, it's called Cat Island. The
Amazonian,
island is the Cat Island. They have like this three different tribes, and so when they meet, they have like this tribe here, that tribe there, and then they have this drum beat where it's like three different hits, like three different notes of the drum. So like you hit the drum in the middle, boom boom, it's like the low one. Then you hit the drum on the rim, and it's a little higher, you know, so boom boom ding ding. And then the highest one is when you kind of like hold the note down, when you slap the side and you hold it down, that's gonna be your highest note. So like a drum could have three different notes to it, most drums. So it's gonna be like low, medium, high, low, medium, high, and, low, medium,
and
high.
And that represents the order of each, which one has more power or no?
No, it just represents that there's three different.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like a heartbeat, the boom boom, and a heartbeat for that tribe, a heartbeat for that tribe, and a heartbeat for that tribe. So it's like, so that's the only like musical, like you asked about music, that's kind of like one thing where I incorporated this percussion. Whenever they have like a ritual, like, so for example, like the tribes are gonna have like, in order to reproduce, they have to have at least one man. So every tribe has a man, but they don't want them to like keep crossbreeding it, you know, so they have to like rotate the men every once in a while. So they have a ritual for that. They have a ritual for like if one of the if the queen of a tribe somebody wants to challenge them, kind of like Black Panther, actually, like how anybody could challenge the king, and if they win, then they're the king, you know. So it's like that same concept. It's like, it's basically, that's why it's primal future, you know. It's like everything's primal in this book, even though it's the future. And so whenever they have a fight to see who becomes the next queen, it's the ritual with the drums. So that was one of the things. The other thing I wanted to say that I relate to, that I, you know, carry the music with the book writing, is that if you go back and listen to my music, my lyrics, it's like I always tell like a story, kind of like a lot of my songs are three verses. It's like a beginning, a middle, and an end. So it's like, you know, the first verse introduces like whatever's happening, the characters, and like what the problem is, and the middle one is like where the conflict, you know, where everything clashes, you know, and the conflict gets kind of resolved, or not resolved, but the conflict gets addressed, and then the third is the end. So it's like how it gets resolved or whatever. So that whole storytelling, like you said, you kind of tell by listening to me, like me talking about the book, how I like, you could see it in my facial expressions, even though I'm like partially covered, but yeah, I definitely do get excited when I tell a story, whether it's through music or the book, because I just feel like maybe I have like a gift to like tell stories.
Yeah.
And I've had people tell me that too. They're like, And you're like, oh man, something funny happened to us the other day. Chris, tell the story. And I'm like, oh, it all started, you know?
Yeah. Nah, so, it seems like you've really thought out like everything in the book, because even you've told us a lot, you know? Yeah. I mean, you've even told us like about the sequels and stuff. Future or like plans. The trilogy.
Yeah.
And you just busted out this right now, like this extra, all the drums and everything, and you know, and that only adds more to the story. So I can only assume that those 100 pages are full of way more information than what you gave us.
Definitely.
And I don't know, is there anything else that you wanted to add or anything else that you wanted to talk about? Or
when you said pre-orders are out now,
like, yeah. So on Amazon, you could do like a search. I don't even think you have to go to Kindle. You could just go to Amazon.com and put in the search bar, and it'll automatically direct you to the Kindle like version of the book. You just type in Primal Future, or this. By the way, book one is called Olympus. That's the name of the space colonies. So okay. There's Olympus 1, Olympus 2, and then Olympus 3 is where the military people live. So Primal Future, or you could type in Olympus, or you could type in my author name, Vance Black, in Amazon. Or Amazon Kindle, if you're an Amazon Kindle person, and you could pre-order the book. It's only like $3, very cheap. You could order the book for $3, and you'll get it on the release date on November 30th. Excuse me. Yeah, November 30th is when you'll actually be able to read it. But you could pre-order it now, and I'm encouraging like my fans or future fans to pre-order now, because the more pre-orders I have, I already have like about 30 pre-orders, which is like awesome.
Nice.
And so the more I get, the more likely when somebody searches. That
it'll pop
the
up.
Algorithm will like yeah. spit out my book. Yeah. Hopefully, is the case. And I'm even gonna, on top of that, I'm even gonna like do a paid promo where like you know we'll come up on the promo books or whatever to, just to get the ball rolling a little yeah. bit.
And we'll put it on our social media too, like on our Facebook page that. And everything. I'm just gonna have to go and look for that, or if you can send me the link
yeah.
again. I don't know if you sent it to me or not, but I know I have access to it through the Facebook.
Yeah, I could send that to you again. Just yeah, in case.
And we'll put it up on the beta page, and probably on the collector showroom as well, and probably mainly the other San Diego groups that are here locally.
Okay.
That way we can try to help you as much as we can, because, I mean. I would like to have you for the second book as well as
yeah,
a guest.
Oh, for sure.
Or if you want to talk about it after it was released and just go over all the kind of like what you were thinking about when
yeah.
when you were writing or
yeah, we could
when
do
you
a
wrote
part,
that.
Yeah, we could do a part two conversation with this. Or maybe if you guys want, if any of you guys happen to read it, we could talk about, you know, questions that you have or whatever. I just wanted to say real quick, the hard copies, I don't have a link yet to order hard copies because I'm actually like going through and revising it still, like
yeah.
up to the minute, up to the day.
Yeah.
So I will, as soon as I get the hard copy link, it should be the same link, honestly. Like you'll click on the, you'll type in Primal Future or Olympus, you'll see the book, and then you click on it and it'll say, do you want e-copy or do you want hard copy? Right now, if you go, it's only e-copy, but
okay.
But the hard copies will be available, and you know, Maybe in the future, like maybe the first couple of weeks when it comes out, I'll do some sort of like where I could sign it for people or something.
Oh, well, I don't know. This is what I was gonna tell you guys, but I'm hoping, but I'm not 100% sure. And I was
yeah.
gonna tell you this off air, but it's all good. I'm trying to host some sort of event in December if possible, but I'm not 100% sure with all the things that are going down like here
yeah.
in San Diego with the COVID thing.
Yeah.
But if I'm able to make one, I was gonna invite you to
yeah,
get a
for
spot
sure.
and do yeah, signatures or whatever,
sell your
hard
yeah.
copies or whatever it is.
For
and,
sure.
And they can do like some sort of meet and greet or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they can talk to you if they've already read it or if they haven't read it. But I'll definitely support you, and I'm gonna have to read it so that we can also do the second podcast. That I really want to see what else is in store
yeah.
in this book, and just you explaining that you're still editing till right now, you know, up to the last minute. It shows that you are dedicated and you actually want to put the best product out there. So
yeah, detail oriented for sure. Like it's
yeah.
funny because I've read the thing like. I've read it so many times myself, and like, and then I'm like making my wife read it and everything. She's like finding like little errors, and I'm like, ah, crap, there's one other one. So anyways, they give you like Amazon gives you like a a week before the book is actually released, you could like keep doing revisions up until that point. So I'm just gonna keep, as long as I have time, I'm gonna keep just revising and finding to see if there's like tiny little mistakes that I missed. But yeah, so far it looks like we have a flawless product, but you never know. You can keep reading it and finding more little things. So part of the process.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you have anything else to ask.
I was just happy to that you were able to come and, you know, visit with us and, you know, explain all the book about. And I appreciate it, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You'll get all the support from us and you know, all our social medias. And, you know, you guys have a chance to, you know, get the book, you know.
Like I said, right now it's kind of like, it's like almost new territory. I'm charting new territory right now because I've never, like, this is new territory for me, having the book almost about to be released because this is my first book that I've ever written. And then also the part about people actually reading it. Okay, then that's the next step. That's also uncharted territory for me. But it's exciting, you know, like, I'd like to see what people think about that. I've been on that side of the coin for music. And it's really awesome to interact with people that like your art.
Yeah.
But this is a new experience, so I'm like looking just forward to that.
Don't let the negative stuff bother you. Know, just
for the most part, in the music scene at least, it's like there wasn't too much, we never got booed off the stage or anything. I mean, I think the most that ever happened was like sometimes when you're playing with another band. Like the fans of the other band will be like, oh well, our band's better than you, you know, and they'll like kind of like try to like big league you down on the dance floor and like look at you all weird. But yeah, I've never gotten booed or anything like that. So I think for the most part, people are pretty respectable. But one more thing, if you do happen to read it, there's a place you could do the reviews on Amazon. Speaking of negative publicity. But no, even if it's negative, though, you should still leave a comment and just give your feedback, because I think any feedback is better than no feedback.
Yeah.
So it's like whether you loved it or you hated it or whatever, you're indifferent, and you read the book, just please write a little comment or whatever, just telling everybody, myself included, and also other people that are curious in reading the book, you know, what you thought about it, like when you go to Kindle or Amazon. I encourage people to leave reviews.
That's awesome. Well, with that being said, guys, this was episode 45. Thank you guys for listening, and hopefully we see that support for Vance Black.
All right.
All right, guys. Peace out.